Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, you guys, it's Courtney.
And Joy Marie here.
And we're back with another episode of Job Blog.
Yes, we're your group chat girlfriends hitting you with fresh career conversations, work, life, everything in between on the 1st and the 15th.
Yes, and you know, it's summertime. It's crazy busy with us traveling, and we wanted to make sure we checked in, but we will be taking the month of August.
Yeah, so enjoy past episodes while we take a little time off. We will be back in September with brand new, fresh content.
But we definitely didn't want to go so long without checking in with you guys. So we're going to do a quick clock in and take a fun walk down memory lane, sharing one of our very first interviews with a media mogul in the making. So stay tuned for that and see how crazy things can change in just a few years.
Yes, but first, you guys know we like to start every episode with a clock in. It's a segment of the show where we check in on each other. Check in with you guys. It's been a little bit of time. Courtney, how are you? What's going on? What's new?
Things have been really good. I mean, wedding planning, career, life, real estate. Like, it's a lot happening.
Yeah.
But the thing I'm proudest of is, if you follow me on social media, you already know this, but I've gone to therapy. I've stopped, like, being a hypocrite and telling all of you to go to therapy and not go to therapy. And I am in the office. So, I mean, it was like, I mean, I resent a little bit how hard it was to find a therapist.
Yes, isn't it crazy?
Yes,
what was like your criteria when you were looking? What were things that were important to you?
I wanted a Black woman.
Yes.
And I was very, I mean, you know, some impressive credentials. And I mean, once I started looking, mm-hmm. there's all these different like certifications. I didn't know what anything meant. Yeah. So I was just like, okay, if it's like a school that I recognize and you look like you got some sense, I use Psychology Today. I mean, that's so horrible, but those pictures
matter.
It's like, do I look like this is a face I can talk to?
Right.
So that's what, and I did like a little pre-interview, like with the person I wound up with. So I was like, okay, I like her vibe. We'll do
this.
And overall, like, I still very, like, I even more so support therapy now that I actually go.
Tell, why? What's been like the standout stuff?
I think, I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, but it's like essentially like me talking to myself, except somebody else is in the room.
Yes.
And she, like, comments on what I have to say, unlike my reflection, who's just like, yes, girl,
yeah. Keep
going. She's like, do you remember last week when you said, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Like, oh, you paying attention for real.
Right. So kind of just calling me out on, like, my patterns and things like that. And the biggest change I would say is that, like, I can recognize when I have choices. So it's like, instead of like saying like, oh, kind of going off instinct and wondering like how life turns out the way it does, it's more like, oh, I have all these choices that I'm making every day, and I'm starting to realize it, like, not just after the fact, but like as it's happening, like, oh, I can like choose to do this the way I've always done it or do something else.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So that's been good.
Okay. All right. I love it.
It's a process.
Let me go ahead and get back into therapy. It's been a while.
Girl.
I love it.
Do it. So, okay. What about you? What's going on with you?
Girl, I have, you know, I've been in a crazy whirlwind maze of busyness. And that just like work busy because I started this new job. But it has been like about 3 months by the time this comes out. So it's been amazing and I'm loving it, but it's definitely kind of like taken up all my focus in my headspace, which I think is okay. Yeah, so
those 90 days will do it.
So I'm like excited to kind of get back into my regular routines and see like what else I have space for in my life. But Yeah, I you know, one piece of advice, just kind of being 3 months in, that I'm realizing, and I think we've talked about before, but it's just like, it's like as important to tell people about the work you're doing as it is to do the work at a certain level. Like, it's literally not just about putting your head down and checking things off the list. It's about coming back and, you know, in our case, we'll do like updates on our little intranet and recaps and like making sure my boss is aware, like, I just did XYZ and I slayed it. And here are like four other people that can confirm that I slayed it. It's just so important to do that so that people have an understanding of all the work that you're doing, everything that you're achieving. But also, so it's a resource to them so they can like leverage everything you've accomplished for whatever they're working on. So that's like a big perspective shift for this job for me that I've never had before, but it's been real.
Yeah. That reminds me too. I forgot who was, I think I might have saw it on Twitter, but someone was saying to the effect that like a lot of times people, like, you want more responsibility at work or you want more influence, and then you like complain about being in a ton of meetings. But like meetings and anytime you're like interfacing and talking with people, that's how you're building influence. So it's not so much about, to your point, about like checking off the boxes and getting it done, but it's about like being able to communicate the work that you've done, pitching new work. Like, that's where like your reputation is built.
200%
The thing, you know.
But see, they don't teach you that, and it's like a mindset shift, because it's like, oh, my job is 50% work and 50% all that other stuff. So yeah, it's been awesome though. We also got a lot going on this summer in the world. I thought it'd be a slow one.
Okay, so open up your newspaper. Well, the big story today is Queen Bee, Beyonce, making waves as usual, but it's about the September issue of Vogue, where she's going to be on the upcoming issue, but she would only do it if they surrendered all creative control of the cover to her. And through that, she hired the first Black photographer to shoot a cover for, like, not just a September cover, but any cover that for Vogue. Ever.
Hold on. Pause.
In 126 pause years, a Black photographer has never shot the cover of Vogue. The tape.
How are we? It's crazy. How are we still doing this?
It's amazing. So she chose a 23-year-old photographer by the name of Tyler Mitchell. And I feel like this is so timely, because I think in a recent episode, we were just talking about like using your seat at the table to give other people seats at the table. And like, how many more years would this have gone on if she hadn't said, like, if you want me on this cover, I have to choose. Here's what we
got to do. Yeah. And you know, that's the concept too, because I think a lot of times when we're granted an opportunity, given we're not all putting in Beyonce work here, like, be real with yourself. Do you have Beyonce work ethic or Beyonce reputation? But like, a lot of times when we're given an opportunity, we think we just have to be grateful to take it. Like, I think a lot of times when you haven't had access, it's just kind of like, oh, well, I'm just happy to be in the room. And this is encouraging, because it's like, you can be in the room and still demand what you still make the ask for what you need, what you want to see, and kind of put your voice and vision into it. So that's so exciting.
Right. Because it's kind of unheard of, because like Miss Anna Wintour, like, she's known for choosing like the cover star, what they wear, who shoots them. So for someone to push back. But if we can like shift the lens a little bit, I find it very interesting that this was, people were saying, it's rumored that this would be Anna Wintour's last September issue, that she would be moving on from Vogue soon. But Condé Nast came out and it was basically saying, like, she has a job indefinitely. As long as she wants it, she has it. And I wonder, like, the connection between the fact that there hasn't been a Black photographer and that, like, Miss Wintour, like, that happened under her tenure. So, like, I get that she has, like, she's changed the face of the fashion industry. Not just Vogue, but, like, the entire industry. Give her flowers for that. But is it, like, discriminatory for, like, wanting
Yeah.
Like, new blood?
Yeah. No, I don't think
like,
so.
Like, can she evolve?
I don't think so. And I think, like, we have to hold our peeps accountable, you know? It's like, diversity matters. Authenticity matters in this day and age. And, like, so much so, just as much behind the camera, to your point, as the talent right. that we see, as the face of these things. So, that it's shocking. I find it almost impossible, like, to comprehend.
It's like you have to kind of go out of your way.
How?
But maybe it's just like Anna Wintour, like she is her demographic. But even still, right. like, you know, black right. photographers. So. And I even think too, like, your Ghanaian brother Edward Innenfall. He is the editor in chief at British Vogue. Yeah. He got that position pretty recently, and like ever since he took the helm, it's just like black yes. on the cover,
yeah.
Oprah on the cover, Rihanna just got their September issue. It's just like, it's such a marked difference.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, and you know, we got keep another Ghanaian Virgil over there at Louis Vuitton Men, you know, like making waves, making splashes. So
yes.
it's fascinating how fashion has been impossible to permeate almost for black mm-hmm. folks and luxury fashion at that. But you know, we'll see. I like where this is all going. I'm excited yes. to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited to see just the progress that's happening. And speaking of progress, Blavity.
Yes.
Our fam and friends over at Blavity recently closed their first official round of funding. They had $6.5 million
USD,
in funding to expand
y'all.
Their...
Millions.
Money.
Oh, to be a fly
so
on the wall when she checked her account when that check
when that happened. I mean, that's
commas and zeros.
And I immediately flash back to our interview with their founder,
yes, Morgan Devon. Back in, when was that? 2015. Literally three years ago.
3 years ago. So I was like listening back to that episode, and like 3 years changed so much. Because that was like my first episode on the podcast.
Yes.
And we were like, oh, we're trying out segments.
Yes.
And like, I was raving about Apple Music, dropped it probably a month later. I'm sorry if you switched based on my
We don't talk about
episode.
Them over here anymore.
I know. But like, it's amazing to see Morgan like talking about building her team and like evolving that brand.
Yeah. And I think like just looking back for me, what is kind of incredible about both sides of the conversation, sort of us coming together for the first time and interviewing her and sort of her being young in the brand, is just like, when you have a vision, it's sort of insane how far that vision can take you and how much it can grow and what can be both a long and relatively little amount of time. Like 3 years, it feels long, but it mm-hmm. also like flies by. And you know, it's insane that kind of we kind of had this idea of the show and these segments and to see kind of where that's taken us over the years. But also with Morgan, you know, talking about her vision, and what just stands out to me is like when you're persistent and you put actions behind that vision, and sometimes just literally just a consistent set of actions over time. It's crazy to mm-hmm. see where that can take you and what that can open up for you, you know, from a small sort of internet newsletter that caught on to now 6.5 million and I'm sure many more rounds of funding and growth to come. It's incredible.
Yes, I think this is definitely a listen, even if you've heard it the first time around or if you're a newer listener and this interview is new to you. If you're starting something, I think this is definitely a great motivator. So check it out. Our interview with Morgan.
Yes. So, Morgan, we'd love if you'd tell us a little bit about yourselves. I think we know you as the CEO and founder of Blavity, but what's maybe something people don't know about you?
Let's see. I'm from St. Louis, born and raised, went to undergrad there at WashU. And, I moved to Silicon Valley right after college to work at Intuit as a product manager. And I live in San Francisco now, so... I think most people like don't know. They think I'm from like New York or LA. It's like, no, I'm from Missouri.
Nice. So can you tell us a little bit about like what moved you to create Blavity? What was the inspiration behind creating this platform?
Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was sitting in my corporate job, like probably many people listening to this podcast, and was consuming content, right? I was on BuzzFeed, I was on Facebook, and I was clicking a bunch of articles. And while like last year, there was a lot of stuff going on with Mike Brown and a lot of other, you know, social justice issues. And yet it wasn't really popping up in my feed as much as I wanted to. I had to go to Twitter to get access to this information and kind of what was happening. And being in San Francisco and that, you know, Mike Brown happening in St. Louis, where I'm from, was kind of like a weird moment, right? And like Blavity is a manifestation of all of these things. It's like there should be content made for and by Black millennials because we influence so much of culture. And yet a lot of these tech companies ignore us, despite the fact that we're huge, huge consumers of their products, right? Yeah. Instagram, Twitter, Vine, you know, Dubsmash, all of these companies, you know, multi-million dollar companies that don't actually cater to us, but we're making them like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Courtney and I were talking about that yesterday. It's funny because working kind of for a larger corporation, you know, with the Supreme Court decision that was passed and sort of, you know, seeing lots of big brands rallying around that, I was sort of disappointed not to see brands rallying behind what's right here in terms of what's happening with sort of police brutality and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you touch on that. And it's so awesome that Blavity exists.
Yeah. Too, so. And I think even just not for brand facing, but the Black community in general, because I know my friends who aren't on Twitter, I feel like they miss out on so much of like what we're doing and contributing to culture. So when I saw Blavity, I thought, oh my God, this is great that someone's putting all of this in one place.
I mean, Twitter is a cool place to find out what's happening in real time. And surprisingly, like most of our users are actually coming to us from Facebook. So
really?
Yeah, which makes sense, right? Because like you and I, you know, we're all plugged in all the time. But the majority of people like aren't. They're plugged into Facebook, they're plugged into Instagram, but they're not out here like searching for information.
Yeah, they're on the Facebook delay. They get it like a week later.
That's which true. Is like really funny to see from a data perspective, like, wait, that happened 2 weeks ago while we're still reading this. But it's just the world we live in.
Yeah, absolutely. And but you guys have grown very quickly. So Blavity launched about a year ago in July 2014, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And you guys have expanded rapidly. I mean, just from what I can see, it's, you know, over 40,000 followers on Twitter, over 20,000 on Instagram, and I'm sure more on other platforms. So what do you think contributed to that success and that rapid growth?
Yeah, it has grown quite a bit. In the last year, which has been fun and a huge blessing, but also terrifying because you're like, wait, we weren't ready. But I think the reason we grew so quickly is because it's needed, right? Like it was a void and a thing that wasn't there.
Yeah.
And, or that existed and Blavity didn't exist, right? And so when you solve a pain point for any customer, and it's something that they literally couldn't imagine their lives without it, then you've got something that's really cool. And so word of mouth is the fastest way that we've grown, right? People are telling their friends, they're texting people articles. And we've had some pretty big hitters that have brought a lot of people into the community. So we're a representation of the times. You know, being Black is pretty hot right now.
It's trendy. Yeah, it is.
For better or for worse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a great place to be. It's a great, from a business perspective, it's a great market.
Yeah. And now correct me if I'm wrong, Blavity launched as a video, more of a video focus. I think I read that. So I'm really interested to know, how did you know it was time to kind of shift gears from that first iteration of the site? And how did you know that what the platform looks like now, that's where you needed to go?
Yeah, so we started off as a video newsletter. So every week I would like manually take screenshots of the top 10 videos, like curated by Morgan, and email them out to, you know, our user base. And then I would track who was clicking on what. So if it was a funny video, it would get more clicks. If it was kind of like a depressing news video, it wouldn't get that many clicks. Mm. And then based off of that data, we then made the video site, which was built from scratch. And, you know, it was fancy. It was really, really ugly, but it had a fancy back end. And nobody clicked on it. Nobody watched anything.
No one watched anything.
Open. Yeah, they would still open the newsletters and, like, maybe click. But for the most part, like, it wasn't growing organically at all. It was, like, an entire manual process to get people to the site. You know, so the first hypothesis was, like, oh, well, it's, like, it's just really ugly. So, you know, I thought... In, you know, in Silicon Valley, it's like, build the MVP, build the minimum viable product. Yes. Doesn't matter if it's ugly, just get it out into the world.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And then nobody liked it. So I was like, okay, well, let's make it prettier. Same back end. Let's just make it, give it a facelift. We're going to make it lighter. We're going to add, like, you know, call to action buttons and really pretty pictures and all this stuff. So that was V2. And that one did a little bit better. And we found that if we could drive traffic to the site, that people would spend some time, you know, clicking around, watching videos.
Yeah.
And then what happened was we started writing stories on a blog. It was blog.blabity.com about the creators that we were partnering with. So their backstory, doing interviews with them, and then embedding their videos that we had made or linking it back to the video site. And the written content was getting way more play than the video site. And so we started to release more and more written profiles, and ultimately it's about data, right? So what I saw was that more people were sharing those pieces of content that were written and they were original, as opposed to us just resharing videos that people probably could have seen or found on Facebook or Twitter. You know, they would have stumbled upon it eventually. So that's the journey to where we are. So now. So let's see, that was July was when we launched. So by January of 2015, this year, we totally pivoted to the written content. We deleted, well, it's not really deleted, it's somewhere on the internet, but we switched over the URL for blabity.com so that it went straight to the blog. And then we did tracked the data. It went really well. So we did another facelift of the blog because it wasn't really designed for everyday usage. And that's the version that you see today. So by the end of January, that's when we finally got the product that hit with the market.
That's so fascinating, Morgan. And I'm glad you touched on that because that's something I struggle with. And I have heard that, you know, the idea of putting a product out in market, getting real-time feedback and then iterating. And even, you know, myself with job blogs and having a new platform, I struggle with the perfection and the idea of like what my original objective was and what I want to put out versus what people are really kind of gravitating towards and enjoying. And like you said, what the data supports. So how do you know to let go? How do you kind of step away maybe from your baby because it is your baby and and pivot when it's time to pivot? Like
totally. I mean, if I could do it over again, I would have listened to myself faster, right? Like yes, we moved very quickly. You know, we went through like 4 versions of the site in 6 months, but if I'd really listened to the data and like paid attention to even feedback from some of my close friends, we would have had this version of the site up in November. So I think the first thing is letting yourself, like, it's okay to be wrong, right? Like when you're wrong, you're actually just learning something that you shouldn't be doing. And then you just have to ask yourself why. And then the other thing that I tend to do is we set behavioral goals. So what that means is someone will say, I like the color blue. And then when you give them 5 options, they pick the color red. And you're like, but you just told me that you like the color blue. And they're like, yeah, I do like the color blue. And you're like, okay, great. But you just picked red. So what's the deal? And they're like, oh, I like the color red too. But you didn't ask me that question. Oh. And in this context, I actually wanted the color red because, you know, red is my girlfriend's favorite color. And so I picked red.
How did you get that information, Morgan? Were you surveying?
So that would have been a survey question. And if I had said, do you want blue or what's your favorite color? And they said blue. And then when I gave them the videos and one of them was red, they clicked the red video.
Right.
The blue video. Right. So I don't do any surveys. We never do surveys. I don't believe in surveys.
Okay. Yeah. And I think even when in my line of work and doing social media, people forget to like just stop and like look at what people are responding to. Like, I think we get caught up in like, go, 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 like execute, execute, but you do have to stop and figure out like what's actually working here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a really big lesson to learn, I think.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But let's pivot a little bit to the kind of the back end more that people don't see. I know you have a great team that you're building. How do you incentivize people to kind of believe in this dream and this passion that you have? I don't know, like maybe they're working on your project on top of working full time. Like, how do you make that like their passion as well?
Yeah, so I think we tend to look for people who we don't have to convince, right? Mm. It's already understood. That we're all fighting the same fight, you know? So the most of the writers that we have on the team, actually all of them, have come to us, right? So we've said, hey, we're looking for writers, and then we just get a bunch of applications. And I think the most difficult part is just sifting through them all, right?
Yeah.
Making sure that our what Blavity is trying to do aligns with their goals, because that's the only way that we're both going to be happy for a sustained period of time, right? We want writers and our team members to be team members for a long time, not just like 3 weeks or one article, one post.
Yep.
That's not productive for anybody. So the people that you have on, that you see on Twitter and writing on the site, they're amazing. They're super passionate, and they're passionate. They'd be passionate whether they're with Blavity or they weren't with Blavity. They'd be writing the same things.
Right.
We just gave them an opportunity to do it with us and gave them the support and the resources. You know, I'd like to think to do it better than they could get in other places.
Got it. And is your team mostly full-time or part-time?
Yeah, everyone's remote and mostly part-time.
Okay.
Editors full-time, and yeah, a lot of people outside are freelancers, so they write for multiple groups of people, or students. We have a lot of students.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Got it.
Cool.
Yeah. And you, I mean, you know, thinking about a new business or a new venture within a year, it seems like you've kind of followed a really great blueprint for setting up shop. How did you know, you know, what to do or what to even be thinking about as you approach this project? How did you know how to build a team and how to incentivize people and things like that?
That's a good question. How did I know? I don't know. I think a lot of it is trial and error. I've been building teams and been in leadership roles, you know, most of my schooling life. So in undergrad, I was student body president as a sophomore at WashU. Had a startup that failed miserably, but it still existed at some point.
What was the startup?
So at WashU, there's a ton of free food events. But you go to the event, you get free food. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the semester, everybody was out of meal points. So they were trying to find these events. So it was an aggregator of all of the events on campus with free food.
Oh, wow.
That is epic.
That is an epic idea.
It's a great idea. I still like totally believe in it. But we did not have the team dynamics to pull it off.
Okay.
But yeah, I think at the end of the day, like, team building has been a part of what motivates me and what I enjoy. And so making sure that we had a strong team where people feel like they're contributing to a bigger picture and that they're still learning and being pushed, and where it's transparent, you know, what the goals of the company are and what I'm doing and everything. You know, I think everybody, if you talk to anyone on the team, they're completely and 100% aligned on like why Blavity exists and how we're going to get to the next step. know, the next 6 months.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, taking that, you've built the team, it's a year later, you've had rapid growth and success. How do you now begin to deal with kind of the shift of people viewing you for maybe your perceived value now that your platform is growing and, you know, you are becoming more influential in the community? How do you vet people out and, you know, how do you kind of work with people that have a genuine and authentic interest in moving towards the goals that you've set as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's new for me. It's difficult because I want to help everyone and yeah. I want to, because especially when we're dealing with, we're building a community that is a reflection of the, of our friend group, right?
Yeah.
So I'm building Blavity in public for people that I care a lot about.
Mm.
And it's, you know, it's not like I'm building an app for children in Canada, you
yeah.
know, like I'm building an app in a community for my friends in New York and my friends that are traveling in Dubai, right?
Yeah.
So I think the first thing for me is like telling myself it's okay to say no because I can't do everything. And if I was unfocused, like we would never have gotten where we are today. And Blavity would not be sustainable. And it's more important for Blavity to be sustainable in the long term than to help this one person yeah. today.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, definitely.
It's really a self thing. And then I think the other thing that I'm working on, and it's a constant thing that I reflect on, is like, how do I help the most people in this period in our lives? And part of it is empowering our team. So I may not be able to help you, but you should talk to Sabine, our marketing manager. You
yes.
should talk to Aaron,
yeah.
my co-founder,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So trusting that everyone on my team is extremely qualified and that they can do just as good a job as I can at helping this person achieve their goals is something that we're also trying to do.
Okay. And it's perfect because it segues into something I saw you tweet recently that I thought was really interesting. Let me see if I pull up the tweet. Mm-hmm. It said, if Blavity. Yeah, it comes back to haunt you. it said, if Blavity featured everyone who reached out to us on Twitter, we would be out of business in less than a month. You have to be ruthless about the decisions I make to ensure we exist forever, not just this moment in time. And I think that is a great point. And I just wanted to have you talk about, how do you balance, like, you start these baby projects with really altruistic motives and missions, but at the same time, it has to be like a viable business. It's a product. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance those two extremes?
Oh, it's so difficult. It's really difficult. I think it's just about having like a personal set of principles and then making sure that you're pressure testing those principles with everyone else on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then holding yourself accountable to them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one very concrete example is a lot of people ask us to be media sponsors, right? They're for their event. So they're throwing a party, they're throwing a conference, they are, I don't know, going on a speaker's tour, a spoken word poetry slam, right? And yeah. I'm like, okay, but if we had every single Black event, which would kind of be dope, but if we had every single Black event did a feature on them on the site, that would totally clutter the site. We would, that would be all that we could do.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot of time to cover and interview people. I mean, you guys know this, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, but we have a site that crosses over the entire world. Well, people in London don't particularly care about an event in New York.
Yeah.
And until we have the infrastructure to be able to help people filter through that type of content, then we're not doing anybody any service. So it's one of those things where you have to think through at a higher level. Okay, if I help this one person, can I help everyone else that is like this one person? If the answer is yes, then great. And that's kind of, for example, our Instagram. Yes, we can feature creators. I can feature every single creator that comes to us, right,
yeah.
on Instagram.
Yeah.
Can I write an article about them?
Right.
Probably not.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like that's something I have, you know, spoken with you, Courtney, about, that I'm struggling with as well, because even just with for this being the fourth episode, mm-hmm. people do write me and they want to be featured on the podcast, mm-hmm. and they don't necessarily align with what the goals are, or maybe, you know, there's more of a product sort of play or kind of like promotion or advertisement, and that's mm-hmm. not what I'm looking to do. So I'm kind of at the same place where I'm trying to, well, definitely not the same one. But, you know, it's something that I'm already dealing with, even sort of in the infant stages of the podcast. Right.
And what are your responses to them?
You know, I haven't quite figured that out yet. Honestly, like even yesterday, I got an email, and I had Erin Stiles, who's featured on the second episode of the show. She's in PR, kind of forwarded her the email because I was like, you know, this person looks fantastic as a young professional and is very accomplished. But what's the story here? And that's why I'm kind of glad Courtney came on board, because she definitely approaches things from more of a branded storytelling perspective. Like, what are we pulling out of this? What are we pulling out that's really empowering other young professionals and entrepreneurs on their journey? And if the answer is nothing or we don't know, then maybe it's not the right fit.
Yeah. But I like what Morgan said too about, like, you just have these different channels that you can kind of funnel things through. So like, maybe it's not what they ask for, but you can still give them something, whether it's an Instagram shout out or something else.
That's a good point.
I like that.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I like that approach a lot.
At the same time, you have to be focused, right? Like,
yeah,
focused on and do what you're supposed to be doing. So there's plenty of things that Blavity could do that we don't, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to that point, so Courtney and I were talking about this on the ride over here. How do you, you know, being a content platform that's really speaking to the Black community, but also in a way creating a community, how do you balance your goals and stay true and continue to be focused while not being too influenced by the community? Because you are aggregating the trends, you're aggregating what's happening, and you're responding to that. How do you balance, you know, making sure you're not getting too inundated by it or losing focus of your goal and your mission?
Yeah, because I feel like even within the age of the comment section, everyone becomes a strategist, and they're like, I think you should be doing this, and this.
I get a lot of emails that like, hey, have you thought about this? And I'm like, I may have thought about that, but that's not what we're doing.
Right. So, right. Exactly.
I guess my thing is, I love the energy. I love that there's so many people thinking proactively about Blavity in their daily lives enough to like text me something or email or tweet Blavity like, hey, have you thought about making a Black Reddit? Have you thought about, you know, making a weekend catalog of all the things to do in Brooklyn? Like,
yeah.
Okay. Maybe I haven't thought of that. Like, so, you know, I would say, for me, it's just staying open. Now, with all the great feedback, we also get a ton of bad feedback. And I think the hardest part is to not take it personally, right?
Yeah.
You know, as we get bigger, you just can't please everyone. The diaspora is a very, very diverse place, and we all have different opinions. And Blavity, even within our own team, we argue all the time about, should we cover this? Should we not cover this? Should we give them attention? Should we even like elevate this conversation, right? And there's a lot of different opinions on the team as well. And so the point of Blavity is not to represent, you know, the progressive Black millennial that lives on the coast. It's to represent a diversity of perspectives of the Black millennial experience in the world. We're not there yet, but we're getting really close.
Yeah, so, that's powerful.
Yeah, not everybody's going to agree with everything on the site. I know I don't, personally.
Oh, really? You don't? Like, you've had writers contribute stuff and been like, eh.
Well, yeah, but I'll publish it because if I agree, like, Blavity is not Morgan. It's, like, it's an entire being on its own.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Noted. Because I mean, Joblogs has been a one-woman show for a while, so this is kind of preaching to me and speaking to me in an interesting way. Stuff I hadn't thought about in terms of balancing perspectives and making sure you're being representative of the whole community.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to know too, like, as an aggregator of content and trend forecasting, things like that, how do you stay current and on top of what's happening? Are there any tools that you love?
Yeah, I use TweetDeck quite a bit. There's also certain areas that are specific that I'm constantly just checking, right? So all of the things with Black Lives Matter. So we have lists of influencers that we pay attention to. Twitter lists are very helpful.
Oh, I love a good Twitter list. I love
it. You know, because it's like, okay, what did Sean King say? What did Netta say? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, nothing's popping off. Like, let me switch over to my blurs. What's happening over here, right? So we have kind of like sub-segments of the Black community that that we have a pulse on, right? So I just told you two, blurs, Black Lives Matter. Another one is Afrofuturism, right? Mm. So there's just lots of different communities that we're constantly keeping pulse of using TweetDeck. I have RSS feeds. I use a tool called Import.io. And that's really cool for checking out what other sites are talking about. So we can make sure we're not missing anything that's big that just maybe we didn't get a pulse on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are kind of my top three tools.
That's great. And on a personal level, what are you reading, watching that, you know, keeps you inspired and motivated and gives you these ideas as well?
Let's see. I just reread John Maxwell's The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. It's kind of like a classic leadership book, but it's nice to think about what I'm doing and what our team is doing at a higher level. It's really easy to get in the weeds and to think about what content are we making tomorrow versus like, how am I thinking about this company? How am I thinking about what we're doing in 18 months and in 5 years and building something sustainable?
Yeah, absolutely.
I also watch a lot of TV to stay sane.
What are you watching?
I just watched Daredevil on Netflix.
Oh, I did watch that. That was good. Do you watch Power?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. The Power finale.
But I haven't watched it.
Okay, oh, no. Goodness. Well, no, I wouldn't spoil it for you like someone did on my Instagram timeline. Janie, I'm talking to you. So I wouldn't do that. But yeah, so just like random shows that kind of are interesting, entertaining to you, nothing specific.
Yeah, it's good background noise. Like, yeah. I never give it my entire full attention. Like, but yeah, it's nice to get a little imaginary break.
Okay. Well, we have a listener question, actually, for you. I pulled the interwebs, and Jessica Siegel at Street Market Podcast, which, interestingly enough, is a podcast that explores, like, the people, places, and history behind street fairs and markets in London, asks, yeah, very cool, what advice do you have for the next generation, and what skills should they have, really, I guess, to be content creators and contributors? In this community.
For the next generation, yeah, we're old guys. Like, listen. Like literally, like I'm like, what is Periscope? Yeah. So, I think the next generation, my advice is like, we're in this really cool world, and I'd imagine even more so for younger people, like where you are the brand, like the person is the brand, and it's kind of like the Truman Show, you know, you can really live a life where like, it's just about you and everyone's watching. And, I would say just be mindful of that. Yeah. And, but also use that to your advantage, like learn how to create things, be creative.
Yeah.
It's okay. And it's a viable business opportunity. It's a viable lifestyle. When I was younger, I wanted to be an artist and I painted and I did all these things. And, but in my mind, I was like, this is always going to be a hobby. I can never make any money from that. And I wish that I hadn't listened to that part of my brain and done, you know, computer science or graphic design.
Is that what you did? Hmm? Is that what you did? Computer science, graphic design? That's
no, I didn't either.
Oh, okay.
No, I was a poli sci major.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is left.
Entrepreneurship and education, double minor, but.
Oh,
no. No, yeah, because by the time I was like, no, I should do this, you know, it's like sophomore, junior year, and you're not going back and taking all those math classes. So, yeah.
Okay.
That'd be my advice.
Love it.
Great advice. Great advice. So, Morgan, thank you so, so much for taking time out to talk with us today. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you online?
Yes. The fastest way to reach me is through Twitter. So it's at Morgan DeBon, just exactly how my name is spelled, and on Instagram. And then for Blavity, at Blavity on Instagram, Blavity Fam on Snapchat, and, you know, check us out on the site, www.blavity.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Morgan. So that was awesome.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got to talk to her.
Yeah, really, and you put her on the guest list, the guest wish list.
I did.
I really didn't think we would, you know, I really didn't think that, you know, we'd be able to land her, but we did.
Yeah, she was great. And I love what she said about just how the platform evolved.
Yeah.
Because, like, you get so caught up, like, when you launch something, you just get, it's easy to get kind of stuck in one thing.
But yeah.
Just being open and flexible. I really
absolutely. So insightful. So many gems. And she's so young and so accomplished. So nothing but well wishes and support for Morgan and what she's doing over at Blavity.
All right, guys, well, we hope you enjoyed that little flashback as much as we did. It's so crazy to look back and see how much we've all grown, and just how setting a vision and implementing habits and goals around that can pay off. So we hope you're inspired.
Yes, for sure, for sure. And don't be a stranger. We may be hitting pause on the episodes for August, but the Candid Career Conversations are continuing all over the social media interwebs.
Enjoy your summer, and we'll see you later.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.